Space Cowboy Books presents Simultaneous Times, a science and speculative fiction podcast. Short stories to stir the imagination by contemporary authors.
Tainted Love by Julie Carpenter, with music by the author. Read by Rachel Butel, Sabrina Fox, Dame Lescombe, and Jean-Paul Garnier.
Ghost the boy and move on, Lizzie. You can do that. You got better things.
The audio glitched, and Lizzie paced her dorm room searching for a better signal. Lizzie Evans was an accomplished liar, or more charitably, a natural chameleon blending into her surroundings for survival. Her given name was Megan Staines, the first of many little burdens bestowed on her at birth. She found herself, the middle child, in the worst house on the best street in a walled suburb where everyone was taller, thinner, and more symmetrical than Dowdy Meg. Her superstitious parents, believing chance to be the hand of God, had refused genetic counseling and allowed mediocrity to take its course. When the junior high bullies moved on from calling her Big Stain to locking her in closets overnight, the principal recommended her transfer to a distant district. She spent her adolescence in transit. Nearing graduation, Megan walked into one of those shady for-profit organ banks advertised at bus stops and train stations. The teenager emerged with enough credits to move out and a small batch of other people's stem cells multiplying under her skin. She completed her metamorphosis into Lizzie when she took the entrance exams into Ad Astra. The elite flight academy accepted anyone with a high enough score and the massive entrance fee, which would eventually outfit the graduate for a Mars mission, or at least an Earth orbit job. She was on her own, far from home. She returned to Oregon Trader whenever her semester fees came due. It was against the rules, barely legal, and dangerous at inverse proportions to the qualifications of the surgeon on duty. The one person she couldn't, wouldn't, didn't need to lie to was on the other end of the virtual chat.
Bye. You're frozen. I can hear you, but you're just standing there in the green sock.
It's not me, Lizard. You know I got the best gear.
Vi's image stuttered to life, her green bodysuit reforming into blue scales. She was lying on a round bed in what looked like a dance studio, mirrors everywhere and bars bolted to the wall. She left her hood off so Lizzie could see her real eyes, her cascade of dark curls.
Whatever. Whole floor is on at this hour. Any funny customers today?
Not really. The usual big tits, colorful hair, anime scripts, a couple ballerinas. One really old guy wanted the chick with the buns on the side of her head. Nothing too creative. But you're changing the subject. Don't fuck this up over some dude who needs help with math. You need help with...
Sorry, Vi. You're really, really breaking up now. I'm gonna go. Let's talk tomorrow before you start work.
Fine. I know you're full of shit, but I love you anyway. Bye.
Lizzie tore off her goggles and eased herself down on the tiny dormitory bed. Ben would be knocking on her door any minute, eager for one of their tutoring sessions that was rapidly tilting towards something it shouldn't.
Man, she's a goddamn farmer if I ever saw one.
Ben kind of hated his roommate. He stopped just short of hating him and filled the remaining distance with envy. Travis was infuriatingly certain of everything. How blissful to simply move through life, knowing everything, and not caring if it was actually true.
And have you ever seen one? Who made you the expert?
Back home, all these people in my dad's church, they grow all kinds of stuff. They don't even try and hide it. Ears and noses growing all down their chest. They'll go to the public pool with a garbage bag shirt on to protect them. Then they'll harvest them, send them off to China in coolers. Dad says all the lazy...
Your dad's a shithead, Travis. Thanks for your touching concerns. I'm gonna go see Lizzie.
Travis's father looked exactly like a bloated version of him from the future, but with even fewer redeeming qualities. Trav worshipped him.
Yeah, well, don't be surprised if you find out she's full of other people's livers. Or what if it's dicks? She might be growing dicks on her back.
Clenching his teeth, Ben shut the door behind him. Yes, the baggy clothes, the absences from class, no obvious family connections or income. Something could be going on. He personally didn't care if Lizzie was growing organs to sell. That didn't seem worse to him than being a VR cam girl, or a surrogate. Better even, since it was saving or improving lives. But he knew Ad Astra's founder didn't see it that way. Like genetic mods or memory implants, it was grounds for expulsion. If Travis wanted to make him miserable, he might make trouble for Lizzie. They lay side by side as he traced the grid of scars on her abdomen with one hand.
Does it hurt a lot?
Not too much. Worst part is the nausea from the anti-rejection drugs. This was probably a terrible mistake.
No, this was not a mistake. I'm seriously gonna fail that calculus exam, though. We really didn't get very far.
We got way too far, Ben. You have a stupid amount of power in this situation. You could ruin my chances in school, and I don't want to have to keep running my guts forever. People get stuck if they don't plan a way out.
She sat up and scrambled for clothes. Ben didn't move.
You don't have to worry about me. We both have to worry about Travis, though. That waste of oxygen derives most of his joy in life from making other people suffer. I've got to figure out a way to disarm him before he notices I'm happy and attempts to destroy the source.
She sighed and slipped back down beside him. It was good, finally, to be herself with someone. It was funny, her friend Vi could wear different skins all day and still be more at home than Lizzie felt in her own. Maybe Vi would have an angle on the Travis problem. She'd tell her about it in the morning. The tinny speakers on her desk crackled to life.
Lizzie girl, pick up. It's Violet, please.
The goggles nearly vibrated off the desk, but Lizzie caught them and put them on.
Lizard, honey, you are gonna love this.
Today, Vi was a cheerleader from a century ago. With white, blonde pigtails and a classic California tan, standing in a football field.
Vi, I can't take you seriously like that. Can you turn it off?
Spoil sport. I was going to do a whole cheer routine for you since I worked pretty hard programming the scenery. The client demanded historical accuracy. So, study hall sounded nice.
Better than nice. Probably amazing if I wasn't worrying the whole time about ruining my life. Any thoughts on the situation? Helpful thoughts? Not like pushing him off the building as you initially suggested.
100 stories up, no one would ever know, and he'd have time to think about what a colossal asshole he is during the descent. Nah, you don't need to. I got a 1,000-story building you can hang him from.
Vi switched off the program that generated her appearance and environment. Lizzie found herself standing face to face with her old friend in her green VR bodysuit. Vi slipped her hood off and reached toward Lizzie.
Ah, I wish I could touch you, babe. I miss you.
I miss you too, Vi. But tell me, you're killing me over here.
So I did a little digging on our friend Trav, and at first, nada. There's the usual neo-fascist flag waver stuff, but nobody gives a crap. Since Ad Astra's into all that human purity garbage. But then, let me give you a few pearls of truth you can share. I think he'll wish you had thrown him off the building.
Ben and Lizzie were relaxing under the blankets in his dorm bed, watching an old movie on their goggles while rain and wind whipped the building. Travis came stomping in, soaking wet in his sports gear, throwing on lights and complaining loudly. Ignoring the couple, he started stripping off his wet clothes.
Goddamn storms shut practice down. Now I gotta be in here watching you with that freak. No offense, but I'd rather not. Go do that shit in her room.
Lizzie elbowed Ben in the ribs. Ben took off his goggles and asked,
"Hey, Travis, where'd you get that scar on your back?"
fight with a gang in Johannesburg on a mission trip.
And the one on your side. And the one on your chest.
What the hell, man? Don't look at me. Get out of here before I turn her in.
Lizzie sat up.
Oh my God, do you actually not know?
Know what, farmer?
More gently, Ben began again.
Travis, do you actually remember that fight? Or that skiing accident? Or that car crash? Don't you think you've been a bit unlucky?
Robbed of certainty, Travis stood frozen, his mouth falling open slightly as if he'd forgotten his lines in a play. Lizzie refused to feel sorry for him.
I might be a farmer, but you're nothing but spare parts and implanted memories. Gotta hand it to him, though. Hiding your illegal clone at Ad Astra is a bold and creative move. But what's going to happen when dear old dad needs something you can't live without?
Uncolored by Kim Martin, with music by Luke Poole, read by Jean-Paul Garnier. Uncolored. I was colored beige, soft as desert sand, loud as sunset's voice, cosmic latte. I was loved and appreciated, and coveted and free. My color was an anomaly. Ravens envious of mulatto wings, chosen by Apollo, our descendants always passing. I was colored black, false as moonlight, benevolent latrodectus, performing courteous cannibalism. I was studied and cloned, and cherished and free. My color was a commodity, engineered black soldier fly larvae, bioreactor holy grail, leachate infested melanin. I am uncolored, pigment empty as oceans and tears, long forgotten unnecessary hues, evolved past tribes and boxes. Bacteria dominate our minds. We are fermions, and bosons, and gluons, and free.
Spunky Dew, a routine from 2017, by Michael Butterworth, with music by Red, Blue, Black, Silver, read by Jean-Paul Garnier. Spunky Doo, a routine from 2017. The tingler would take your whole length into his mouth and with long painted fingernails tickle the back of your sack. It would work you up and down until whoomph, much like big boys scuttling along at low level to avoid the radar. Can you imagine it in a dress? Babu, babu, babu. The tingler did it to any takers. Got them erect as fuck. There were other kinds. The bamboozler came down in a welter of cum from a great height, trapping the inhabitants in radioactive goo. The syncopator relied on conventional wing power to bring itself in, but looking for all the world like Diana Doors, get me? Diana Doors with sails. They all had the same ultimate effect, but the tingler was in a class of its own. More than one model, too. And they all gave great head. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. I went down on the Kaiser, and it fucked my head off. I got passed around, working my dick each time, one explosion after another. Lammy Pie, they called me. I had a 10-story rocket that blew everything away in one go, and a mouth like the Mersey Tunnel that took up all it could get. Not long before the end game, the heads of state were at it. Putin kicking the bomb to Assad, who was passing it to Nasrallah, who passed it to Khamenei, who liked scoring own goals. Kim Jong-un got hold of it, kicking it into the rough. Trump the jumper handballed it. The whistle went and the fucker exploded. Ba-boom. The whole world went up like a fucking Catherine wheel spinning off into space, I can tell you. These really big boys had a dance called the Frig, where they all lined up passing the hoosie about and dipping their wicks, and let us join in. We were all cheering like pirates. You do this dance, you do that dance, and down in France you do the dirty dance. The band were all jacking off and the gobs of cum were landing everywhere. Catch them if you can. I was hooby-joobying inside a gloopy goldfish bowl, blowing kisses at the singer. All lined up in the desert, we did the Frig, saluting the Marchioness with our doodahs. One time, the Tingler shot its load in starry rainbow arcs above our heads, and we danced the trance until the ha-has erupted. Lockler Floor did the blurt-vert. In his sightings, Mr. Zero hammered the sluzy-doo. We did the jelly bean and the kangaroo, the hopscotch hop and the Mary Lou. And the Tingler kept a-raking them ball sacks, and the world kept a-jivin'. Oh, did she jive, boy-oh, until she all jibbed to bits. I'd never seen her so Fenella Fielding flusky with the deep throtto. My beautiful darlings, haven't the chaps finished yet? Reverberating along the horizon. And yes, the Yardbirds, Still I'm Sad, played in the final moments when we were too flused to do any more. Going down on our undercarriages we were, and we were going, God bless America, God bless England. Then the Marchioness was grabbing my outreaching hands and gathering them up to her breast, rolling them around and around, and moving herself into ecstasies. I longed she would do it with my face, lovely jubblies, but etiquette did not permit, she being such a great peer of the realm, and I just one of a lowly cotton-picking family. We swooned about instead at opposite ends of Lerve, doing the Harlequin shoot. We pattered about one another, sashaying like glistening, unrequited sharks in La La Land. Looking back, why didn't we bend the rules? We could have done anything. But hey, y'all, whatever you got, you always wanted more of. As far as I could see, there was no real personal release to be gotten from all the bravado and one-upmanship. Should have listened to the Buddha 28 centuries ago, eh? Now hear me clearly, you ghost. There are 197 million square miles of planet out there. Not a millimeter of it bears any division of ownership now. What were you thinking? In this episode of Simultaneous Times, you heard Tainted Love by Julie Carpenter, with music by the author. Uncolored by Kim Martin, with music by Loop Pool. And Spunky Do, a routine from 2017 by Michael Butterworth, with music by Red Blue Black Silver. Theme music by Dane Luscombe. Out now, Simultaneous Times, Volume 1, Paperback Science Fiction Anthology. Available at spacecowboybooks.com and lulu.com. Be sure to visit us at our store in Joshua Tree, California, or at spacecowboybooks.com. And connect with us on Instagram or Twitter. We'd love to know what you think of the program.